Sama Veda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Normally, I would do a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but with the permission of Svavas and his encouragement, it was decided that I would tell the story of the appearance of Lord Jagannath, because there are many devotees who have never read the story of how Lord Jagannath appeared, why he appears without hands and legs. What is the pastime behind those factors? And it is a fact that the more we know about a great personality such as Lord Jagannath and Lord Baladev and Lady Subhadra, the more we know about them, the closer we feel to them, and the more inspired we are to want to serve them, honor them, glorify them, and love them. So therefore, it is always good to know something about these personalities, because it enables us to feel some connection with those pastimes, especially when we are pulling the rath carts by the ropes. It's especially important to recall some of those wonderful pastimes of Lord Jagannath. So with the permission of all the Vaishnavas, I beg for your prayers and blessings, as well as those of Srila Prabhupada and those of Lord Jagannath, Srimati Radharani, that I may speak in a way that may inspire and benefit all of us, including myself. Thank you very much. So this story begins in North India, in Avantipur, that is in the Kashmir area. And there was a king. His name was King Indradyumna. King Indradyumna was a very great devotee of Lord Vishnu. One day, some sadhus... Oh, before I go further, let me mention the sources of the material that I'm speaking from are the Jagannath Priya Natakam, written by Tamal Krishna Maharaj, the drama of Lord Jagannath, the book called Jai Jagannath by Dhruva Maharaj Das, and he has borrowed heavily from the Skanda Purana, as well as others, and the Bhakti Godhead article that occurred in 1975 by Nitai Das, which I believe is from the Narada Purana. So there is authority to these stories. I've tried to distill all three of them into a single essence so that we can remember the major points of them. Continuing. So one day, a sadhu appeared in the court of King Indradyumna, and he began to tell about the wonderful experience he had in seeing, in glorifying, in adoring the beautiful form of Lord Nila Madhava. Now, Nila means blue. Just like we have Lord Shiva, Nila Kanta, blue-throated. And Nila Madhava is the blue-formed. He's a four-armed Lord Vishnu, which is very interesting because, as we will see, he will become a two-armed personage. So the sadhu talked all about how beautiful, how glorious, how wondrous Lord Jagannath was. And when the king heard this, because he was a devotee of Lord Vishnu, his heart became inspired more and more to want to see this particular form of the Lord, Lord Nila Madhava. So the sadhu left. And before he left, he did not specify exactly where this form of Nilamadhava could be found. Nonetheless, it had become a compulsion on the part of King Indradyumna to find this Nilamadhava, to look at him, to worship him, and to imbibe the blessings from him and to offer service to him. So he sent a number of Brahmins all over India from his court, from his kingdom. And they looked here and they looked there, they looked everywhere, and none of them except one could get a clue as to where Lord Nilamadhava was. His name was Vidyapati. He was a Brahmin, as I mentioned. And as he was wandering the different neighborhoods, he knocked on a door. And this is a neighborhood, by the way, of Shabaras. Shabaras are pig farmers. And the person who opened the door was the daughter, she was a young daughter, marriageable age, of the pig farmer named Vishvasu. So she opened the door and she welcomed him in and offered him hospitality, a seat, some water. And he asked her where her father was, and he said that she said he's out doing some worship now. So he waited, and then the father, Vishvasu, returned from his worship outside, and he spoke with Vidyapati. And he saw that Vidyapati was a very devoted to the Lord. And he told his daughter, please give this Brahmin, give him hospitality. Make him feel at home. I want him to like this place. Of course, he had an ulterior motive. He wanted to get his daughter married off to the Brahmin. So she did just that. And she pleased Vidyapati. And then Vishvasu said, I would appreciate if you would marry my daughter. And he said, sure, that would be fine, since she showed so many remarkable and beautiful qualities. Notwithstanding the fact that they were Shudras, but they were Shudras in activity, but they were Vaishnavas in character, as we will see. Anyway, what happened was that the two were married, and Vidyapati noticed that every evening Vishvasu would go out and stay all night, and then he would come back. And when he came back, he smelled from the fragrance of camphor and sandalwood, several other fragrances. And he said to his wife, what is the cause of this? When he goes out, he doesn't have that fragrant smell. But when he comes back, we can smell the camphor and we can smell the sandalwood. Where does that come from? She said, well, he has a deity that he worships somewhat distance away. He said, really? He said, yes. He says, what is the name of the deity? He said, the name of the deity is, well, I'm not supposed to tell you this. My father said I'm supposed to keep it a secret. He said, well, what is the difference? We're husband and wife. There are no secrets between husband and wife. At least they're not supposed to be. So she said, all right. He goes out to worship Nilamadhava. Nilamadhava? Ah, that's just why I came here, to find Nilamadhava for the king, Indradyumna, who wants to meet Nilamadhava and worship him and serve him. She says, well, I wasn't supposed to tell you. He says, well, I have to find out, because that was the purpose of my mission here. So Vishvasu comes back, and Vidyapati begins to question him. Where is this Nilamadhava? No, that's secret. I don't want anybody going there. He's my deity. He said, I worship him regularly, and I've been doing this for a long period of time. He says, but I want to see him. I want to look at him. I want to worship him also. So because he had Vaishnav sentiment, he says, all right, I will take you, but I will blindfold you so that you do not see the way and you cannot get there on your own. He said, fine, as long as I can get the opportunity to see Nila Madhava. So, the next day, he told his wife that her father would be taking him on a trip to see Nila Madhava. And he would like to, some way, be able to remember how to get to him. She says, okay, I will give you some mustard seeds and sew them into your garment on the edge, and while you are walking, you will open that, those stitches, and you will drop the seeds along the way. And what will happen is that in due course of time, the mustard seeds will be pushed into the ground by animals walking on them, and they will grow up into mustard plants, yellow plants. And if you follow the trail of the mustard plants, you'll be able to get to Nila Madhava. This is perfect. So that's just what he did. He went and he dropped the seeds along the way. And finally, they got to Nila Madhava. It had an altar there. It was in a grove. Beautiful flowers, fruits, and trees all about. Birds chirping. And when the Shabra took the blindfold off Vidyapati, and he saw the incredible beauty of Nila Madhava, he immediately began to burst into song, and he began to chant. I don't know what he chanted, but he was chanting the names of God, and he was so ecstatic. He was dancing and clapping and jumping. He was so happy. Of course, the Shabra was also glad, because this was what Nila Madhava had induced in him. So the Vishvasu said, I'm going to gather some fruits and some flowers and some roots, and you stay here with the deity while I go out. So he went and Vishvasu went out into the groves and began collecting fruits, leaves. And Vidyapati, he was standing there, and there was a lake in front of him. And there was a tree by the side of the lake. And on the branch of the tree, a crow, which was beginning to nod out, as some of us do in class, it was beginning to nod out, it was doing like this, on the branch. And then suddenly he plunged down into the water because he fell asleep, and he drowned. Having drowned, a few seconds later, it was no longer a crow, but it was a four-armed Vishnu form that shot up into the sky and then could not be seen any further, went back home, back to Godhead. Well, Vidyapati saw this. He says, what am I wasting my time on this world for? Let me get out of here. So he climbed up on the tree, got up on the branch, and was just about to jump into the water when a voice appeared and said, my dear Vidyapati, what are you doing? You were sent by King Indradyumna to find out where Nila Madhava is, and now you know where he is, so it is your duty, your responsibility, to return to your master, or to the king, and inform him of this. So realizing his error, he climbed down from the tree and went back to the area of worship. At which point, Vishvasu, he came, and he began to do his worship, and he offered the fruits and the flowers and the roots. And when he finished his worship, he heard a voice which said, my dear Shabra, for so many years you have been worshiping me, and I have enjoyed the worship of your simple flowers and fruits and roots. But now I desire more opulent worship from King Indradyumna, who wants to worship me in this particular way. So, in a short time, you may not see me here. So as soon as the Vishvasu heard this, he became frightened, because he thought he was that hearing this, and of course the Vidyapati heard it as well, that Vidyapati would go back to King Indradyumna. King Indradyumna would come down, he would take the deity and take it back to Avantipur. So to prevent this, what he did is he tied him in ropes, Vidyapati, took him back home, and he bound him, and he wouldn't let him leave. So he was all tied up, completely bound, couldn't get back to King Indradyumna. But his wife felt very, very sympathetic to the fact that he was tied up. And this was not the way you treat a human being. So she began to appeal to her father, please, please untie him and let him do his duty. Well, he had a lot of love for his daughter, and very often fathers have a soft spot for their daughters. And so he acquiesced to her request, untied the Brahmin, and the Brahmin went back to Avantipur and told King Indradyumna about his find. When King Indradyumna heard this, he was just ecstatic. He was so overjoyed, overwhelmed. He got so many of his soldiers, he got many citizens, and they all went in a procession down toward that area where the pig farmers lived. When they arrived there, King Indradyumna said, well, how do we find him? We have to look in the forest. He says, I have arranged for all that. I threw mustard seeds, and we just have to follow the trail of the mustard plants now. So that's what they did. They followed the trail of the mustard plants, and they finally came to the area where Sri Nilamadava was supposed to be. But there was no Nilamadava. The altar was empty. Where is he? What has happened to him? So the king immediately assumed that Vishvasu has taken the deity and has hidden him someplace so that the king could not take him away back to Avantipur. So he immediately went to the home of Vishvasu, arrested him, and said, where is Nilamadava? Vishvasu said, I don't know. He said, what do you mean you don't know? He said, well, some time ago, there was a terrible rainstorm. It was teeming. There was lightning and there was thunder. And the winds were howling. It was terrible. And when I went to worship Nilamadava, the throne was empty. And he was no longer to be seen. So I don't know where he went. So King Indradyumna was at his wit's end. Vishvasu didn't know. He didn't know. Vidyapati didn't know. Where was he? That was the question that was foremost in his mind. And suddenly a voice from the sky came and said, my dear king, I want you to build on top of Neelachala Hill, which is that area where they were, a beautiful, large, opulent temple. And after you have completed it, there you will find me. But you will not find me there as Nilamadava. You will find me as Daru Brahman. Daru means wooden, and Brahman means the absolute truth. That is the way I will appear. It just happens to be that Nilamadava stays in the form of Nilamadava, four-armed Vishnu form, for the first 50 years of Lord Brahma's life. And as soon as Lord Brahma enters his 51st year, he turns into Lord Jagannath, or Daru Brahman. Interesting, because we have first a four-armed form, and now turning into Lord Krishna, two-armed form. Of course, Krishna can do that. He can go from two to four, and he did that for the gopis. Once he turned into a four-armed Vishnu, and they didn't want anything to do with Vishnu, they were looking for Krishna, because that was their ras. So, he said, therefore you must build this temple. So, immediately, King Indradyumna, he called all his laborers down to the area, and they began the building of this temple. Beautiful temple, high temple, dome temple. On the top of it, it had this palasa, a pinnacle. And then on top of the pinnacle, there was a chakra. And on top of the chakra, there was a flag waving, like we have a chakra up on our temple as well. This is all, you know, from the original. And also we see that down in Jagannath Puri. So, and it was decorated with gold all over. It was approximately 80 feet down under the ground and approximately 200 feet above the ground. The present Jagannath temple is 215 feet and some inches. So it was completed. And now he was waiting for Daru Brahman to appear. But Daru Brahman was not appearing. When is he coming? Days were passing. Months were passing. Years were passing. And still, Daru Brahman had not appeared. So the king became so frustrated, so anxious, so upset, so disturbed, that he decided that he would fast to death. That there was no reason to go on living if he could not see Nila Madhava in the form of Daru Brahman. So he lay down on the kusha grass, determined to fast to the end. He went to sleep, and at the latter part of that night, the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not despair, O king. You will see me very shortly." He says, "Where? How?" He said, "You will go down to the ocean side and you will see a block of wood floating in and reaching the shore. That is who I am, this block of wood. But it is a pure manifestation of me. So go there and fetch it and bring it to a place where the carving of the deity would be done." Ah, the king woke up and he finally felt some relief, felt some happiness, felt some joy. Finally, he was going to see his worshipable deity. So he went down there with them soldiers and Brahmins and Kshatriyas. And there, floating in from the ocean, was this sanctified, if you will, block of wood. And as it reached the shore, it could be seen that on its surface were the four symbols of Vishnu. The conch shell, the lotus, the club, and the chakra. So all of this was there. And that was the symbols of Lord Vishnu. And therefore, King Indradyumna knew that this had to be. It was not just some ordinary block of wood. So he tried to move it, tried to pull it, couldn't move it. So he got some more men. They tried to move it, couldn't move it. They got more men, pulling, pulling, pushing, pushing, could not move this block. They got elephants, tied it around, tried to pull it. It would not move. So the king was very, very frustrated. How are we going to get it to the temple if it won't move? We've got to get it to the temple. It has to be carved. It has to be shaped. That night when he went to sleep, he had a dream. And Daru Brahman appeared to him and he said, "My dear king, what I want you to do is go and bring the Shabra, or Vishvasu, put him on one side of the block of wood. Then bring my other servant, Vidyapati, and put him on the other side standing. And then you bring a golden chariot and put it in front of the wood. And then you will be able to move it. So he did just that, Vishvasu, Vidyapati. And then a very ecstatic, rip-roaring kirtan took place. And they were chanting the Lord's name, Lord Vishnu, Krishna, Krishna, Hare, 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 Rama, Hare, Ram, Ram, Ram. And the kirtan was ecstatic. Everyone was dancing and clapping and jumping. It was wonderful. And then finally, when the kirtan let up, King Indradyumna prayed to the block of wood, "My dear Lord, please allow me to move you." And the king stretched out his arms, grabbed the deity with his hands, and began to pull. And some of the other men helped him. And the deity moved very easily, and he was placed on the chariot. So they got the deity, the block of wood, on the chariot, and it was then wheeled to a particular place right beside the temple. So the next item on the agenda was, who's going to carve the deity? So he called for the best artists that he had in his kingdom, and they all appeared, and one after another took a chisel and with a mallet and began to chip. But as he pounded away, what happened was that the chisel broke. So another artist came with his chisel, boom, 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 broke. One artist after another, one sculptor after another, couldn't carve the deity. He said, "What am I going to do?" I mean, it's like one obstacle after another the king encounters. It's like we get our own little obstacles when we're putting on our Radhayatra festival. We can't get this permit. You can't get that permit. You have to wait for somebody to occur. He's out for vacation. And so many things can happen. But the determination of the king is tested, you know, on the anvil of his devotion. Anyway, an old Brahmin came in. His name was Ananta Maharana. And he came in and he said to the king, "I promise you, I will carve the deities." He says, "How could you promise?" So all my artists failed. He says, "I promise if you will make a promise." "What do you want me to promise?" "Promise me that for 21 days you will let me stay in solitude with this block of wood and I will carve the deity. It will be three deities. And I will have to also have three chariots for them. So all these other artists, I will supervise them into making the chariots." He said, "21 days? "Yes, 21. You cannot open the door. I promise." So he was in there. Every day King Indradyumna would go to the door and he would listen to the chip. He was listening to the chipping. "Ah, it's getting closer. Closer and closer to the time that I will see my worshipable deity." And then, on the 14th day, there's no chipping. Silence. He says, "What has happened?" He promised that he would finish it. What is going on? Is he sick? Has he gotten tired? Has he given up the task? What is the reason? So his wife said, "Well, open the door. What difference? You don't hear anything now, so check it out. See what's going on in there." But his minister said, "No, don't open the door because you'll be violating your promise." The wife said, "Don't listen to the minister. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Open the door." So finally he opened the door and he was looking for Ananta Maharana, who, by the way, was none other than Vishvakarma. And the other artists, they were simply operating under his instruction, who were making the chariots. This was Vishvakarma, who was carving, but he was nowhere to be seen. And the king looked here, he looked there, and he saw these three deities which were in an incomplete form. They had no legs, and they had no hands. They were incomplete. He felt so bad, so remorseful, that he felt he should not have opened the door because the artist maybe was taking a little break. And that he would have continued, but now he's nowhere to be found. He's gone. He's lost. He's left. There's the deities are incomplete. And he felt so bad, so remorseful that he decided, forget it. That sculptor is not coming back. I broke my promise. I'm giving it up. So he said, I'm going to fast to the end. And he goes up into his chamber and he lays down on the kusha grass mat. And he's laying there, and he goes to sleep. And who should appear to him but Lord Jagannath? And he said, my dear king, you need not sorrow. Do not grieve. He says, this is all part of my pastime. I arranged all of this so that you would think that you were the cause of the incomplete form of the three deities, Lord Jagannath, Lord Baladev, and Lady Subhadra. But that is really not the truth. That was simply to increase your love for me, to increase your devotion to me, to increase your attachment to me, and also to show me how much you loved me. You're willing, if you could not see me, you didn't even want to live anymore. So this was all part of a sweet pastime that I have, and that you should not feel guilty at all for doing this. So the king was wondering in his mind, well, how could it be? Why is it a pastime? Generally, a pastime is something frolicsome. It has some play, some fun. You see, that's what pastimes are all about. Of course, they don't have to be that, but often they're full of fun, like Krishna's pastimes with his friends, his father, his mother, and so forth. So he said, what is the fun of it all? He was wondering. So the king, the deity said to him that, he told him that from here on that he would receive opulent worship, and that if the king wanted to, and he wanted to especially worship him opulently, that he would place golden hands or silver hands on the deity. That was golden feet or silver feet on the deity. He could do that. So at that point, the king asked, he said, my dear Lord, I have a favor to ask of you. He said, what is that? He said, I would like for the temple to be open, be closed for 3 hours every day in the morning. And after that, it should be open all day so that people anywhere and everywhere who come here will have the opportunity to look at you, to see you, to worship you, to offer obeisances to you. You are so beautiful. So the king said, so be it. He also said that I would like there to be feeding. I would like there to be offerings of food throughout the day. So the Lord said, yes, so be it. And then the Lord said, what would you like? King Indrajubhya said, what I would like is that I don't want to have any progeny who will claim to be the owner of this temple, for this temple belongs to you. So please make certain that I have no offspring. He said, so be it. So that was the understanding, and that was the arrangement. And the king woke up, and he knew exactly what he had to do. At that point, he began to wonder again about what is the pastime value of this? Why is this a pastime? So then who should show up on the scene but Narad Muni? And Narad Muni, having a touch of omniscience, Narad Muni said, I can answer your question as to why it is a pastime of the Lord. He said, please do, because I'm in terrible curiosity. He said, long ago in Dwarka, the ladies of Dwarka were in a chamber and they were talking about the intimate pastimes of Krishna when he was in Vrindavan. And they asked Lady Subhadra to please stand in front of the door so that Krishna could not come in, because if he heard these, he might be filled with the pangs of separation from his pure devotees of Vrindavan. So better let him stay out until we finish our discussion. So Subhadra stayed on the outside. And sure enough, who should come by but Lord Krishna? And he said, I'd like to go into the room. So Subhadra said, no, the ladies, they're having a discussion. They told me to not allow you into the room. So he said, well, it must be something important. So he decided to stay there. And he listened to what was coming out of the, what was emanating from the door. And he heard the pastimes that were going on. And as he heard those pastimes, it brought to his mind the recollection of when he was in Vrindavan with all of his devotees, especially the gopis, when they were having Ras Lila. And as he began to listen to this, he became more and more ecstatic. So ecstatic that his hands went inside his body. His feet went inside his body. Just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he became so super ecstatic, he also began to look like a tortoise because his hands and legs were in his body. So then Balaram came along and he looked at his brother and he said, this is odd looking. So then what's going on? So Krishna looked at the door, and so Balaram began to listen, and he heard those pastimes, and he too became so super ecstatic that his hands went into his body and he lost his feet and his hands. And then Subhadra, who is not some ordinary lady, she is the internal energy. She is Yoga Maya, who makes all arrangements for Krishna's pastimes. When she saw what was happening to her brothers, she also lost her hands and feet. And so they all were in a state of incredible, super, and unimaginable ecstasy. After a while, of course, composure reigned, and their hands came out, their feet came out. And so, Narada Muni, he was there, and he was watching all this. And he prayed to the Lord. He begged him, please. He said, I beg that you will please, bless the entire world. Bless the entire world with bless the world by allowing the world to see you in this stunning form of ecstasy. And the Lord said, so be it. So he prayed that form that he was in just a few minutes back, that he would show that to the Lord. And so that is the eternal form of Lord Jagannath. He doesn't have feet. And what does that do for the Lord Jagannath? It helps him to remember those wonderful pastimes. After that happened, then Narada Muni, he disappeared. And Mother Goddess Saraswati, she came and she told the king exactly how the deities were to be painted. That Lord Jagannath would look like a monsoon cloud, dark. Lord Balaram would look like a full moon, white. And Lady Subhadra would have a saffron color. And after they were painted, after the temple was further decorated, who should come up? Who should come after the invocation by the king of Lord Brahma? Who should come but Lord Brahma and all the demigods? So Lord Brahma came to install the deities on their particular chariots. So that's exactly what happened. However, I should fail to mention that when King Indradyumna was in the dream, the Lord had told him that he wanted the Shabra to be his servants. All the Kshatriyas should be his servants, like Vishvasu. And all his descendants should be his servants. He also said that Vidyapati, the descendants from Vidyapati's Brahmin wife, would be the worshippers or the pujaris. And the descendants of his Shabra wife, Lalita, would be the cooks. They were called Suryadas. So they would have regular service for the Lord. And there would be cooking going on. I believe Lord Jagannath, I believe he received 56 offerings per day. Is that correct? Anybody know that? Yeah. So he's always eating. So anyway, what happened was that Lord Brahma then asked the Kshatriyas to please move the three deities onto their respective carts. And then he performed the installation in which various prayers and various rituals and ceremonies were done. And then, lo and behold, all the demigods who had come with him took hold of the ropes. And they would then perform the first Ratha Yatra of pulling the deities' carts. And so demigods, I mean Lord Indra, Lord Chandra, Lord Surya, Lord Vayu, Lord Varuna, all of these demigods had come, so they all got hold of the ropes and they began to pull. And as Lord Jagannath and Lord Baladev and Lady Subhadra were rolled down along the street, the eyes of Lord Jagannath beamed here and there. And it is said that whomever Lord Jagannath beholds, whomever he looks at, is guaranteed liberation, if not soon, then certainly later. Because that is the promise of Lord Jagannath. Why does Lord Jagannath like to be taken out? Well, there are many people who don't come to the temple. They stay outside. But Lord Jagannath, being merciful, being compassionate, wanting all his children to come back home, back to Godhead, gives his life-producing glance upon, or showers his life-producing glance upon all who then regain the desire to know who they are, why they're here, what is the purpose of life, and who should I worship, and finally go back home, back to Godhead. And such is the story of Lord Jagannath. Hare Krishna.